Over the last couple years, Father has put Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 8 on our hearts, my heart. And it says that when we're in the lands that Father's kicked us out to because of our disobedience, that there in those lands, when we wake up and we start to listen to the voice of God and turn and obey His commandments, the whole of the commandment that He's giving to us, that at that point in time, He will remember us and remember our captivity, and He will bring us home. But it's dependent upon us, when we hear, to do it. Because it's until we do it, He won't bring us home. We know Father's waking us up all around the world. He's opening our eyes up to walk in His ways and obey His commandments. He's opening our brother's eyes up also. Here in America, but mostly in Israel. Because they need to see. They see people coming and going. And they hear, okay, you're Christian. They're tired of that. They've been too oppressed by Christianity for too many centuries. And one of the things that kind of brings that home is inside the Jaffa Gate, there is a bookstore, a Christian bookstore. A fellow named Benjamin runs this bookstore. He's starting to see over the past 2 or 3 years, Orthodox Jewish young men come to his store. And they're wanting to know. They know Judaism. They don't always agree with everything going on, and they want to find out what it is we believe. So he's given them things for them to read, and some of them are becoming believers. But he said there was an Orthodox Jewish man, fatherly-looking fellow, beard, long pelt, came to his store and said, I want something to read that will show me what you believe. And he gave him a Bible, and the guy's like, no, I don't want that. Think about that statement. It's not that he doesn't want the truth that's in it. He doesn't want translation 5900 version 15. In other words, we have too many versions. We have too many translations. He says, our book is one book. It's the same. It's been that way for centuries. It doesn't change. Your book keeps changing. The words in it keep changing. So Benjamin prayed real quick. You know, Father, what do you want me to do? And he went and got him an Aramaic Brit Hadashah. And when he gave him the Aramaic, he was like, oh, okay. Because they understand Aramaic. Aramaic doesn't change. The language hasn't changed for centuries, just like the Hebrew hasn't changed. So he took that, and he's going to go, and he's going to read it. So we have to know that while we're coming out of the things we're coming out of, they're also coming out of some of the things that they are involved in, too. I was blessed to stay in Jerusalem. I was in an apartment on a street called Ahad Ha'am, which means the one people. That's pretty cool. Because I wasn't in the old city, I didn't have to listen to our Muslim brothers every morning bringing the awakening call at 4:30, which was good. The blessing during the week of unleavened bread, the Aaronic blessing, we went down, was it like 9:30 in the morning, and there wasn't a whole lot of people there. But all of a sudden, it just like, bang, people came out of everywhere, and it was really crowded. So they're seeing more and more people coming to the land for the feasts. They're seeing more and more people show up for the blessings, which is good. The first day I was there, most of you know the desire this year was to hopefully that my beloved would be able to go with me for Pesach, and that didn't work out. So I'm praying and asking Father, why am I here alone? And he says to me, the bridegroom prepares a place. Well, it's good to know that after 20 years of marriage, he's still looking at me as a bridegroom. I think that's pretty cool. So I'm, all right, I'm preparing a place. You gotta help me with this. So throughout the week, after the blessings were over, I went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And my heart was very broken. Not only because that's where Messiah was taken, but because of what it's become. I see nothing but death there. I see nothing but the captivity of the church and Catholicism, and I see death. So anyway, as I was going back up the mountain, I was headed. My goal was to get to the Garden Tomb, but I didn't get there. I found Zechariah's caves, and believe me, I needed it at that point in time. It was hot, and I was very hot and sweaty, and natural air conditioning is cool. So I'm down in the belly of these caves, and I'm, okay, Father, you can speak to me here just as well as you can anywhere else. So what is it do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Why? What is this preparing a place? He says, I want you to go home. Okay, where is home? So he tells me, and I know some of you know that we believe that my family is of the tribe of Asher. So the answer to me was Haifa. Haifa. Okay, when do you want me to go? Tomorrow. All right. So I went to Haifa the next day. And I get to Haifa, and I'm at one of the beaches, and unless you have a car or some mode of transportation to get around, you got a lot of walking to do to see what Haifa's all about. So I went down to the beach and I sat there. And I'm watching the sea and I'm watching the mountains. And Father just says to me, sit. Okay. So after about 2 hours of sitting, I'm like, no, what? Sit. Just sit and be still. And watch. Listen. Look. So that's what that day was. The last day of unleavened bread, as we're sitting to eat, we had some guests come. They're from Haifa. And also Benjamin, in his talking to us, the guy that owns the bookstore, there's things going on in Haifa. There's 3 Messianic rabbis now. Used to be Orthodox rabbis. He wouldn't tell us their names. Now, whether it's because he was just hiding that fact or whatever, I don't know. But in Israel, for that to come out, for people to tell you who somebody is, it's now a Messianic believer that was Orthodox, if you run your mouth at the wrong time, they could get in a lot of trouble. So you have to be careful. So what I get from Father now is that he's showing me that our home is Haifa and that he's given me contacts there. I now have the contacts for a bed and breakfast there. I have 2 people that are in the land now that stay in the Haifa area. So he's opening up doors. He's opening up eyes. He's letting us see. Father's all about bringing us home. But we got kicked out because we disobeyed. And as he's opening our eyes, we have to make the decision to obey. Each one of us, as he reveals to us what he reveals to us, we have to make that decision to obey. He's not going to bring us back to the land disobedient. The land won't take us. The land is waiting for the sons of Israel to stand up. The land of Israel is waiting. All of creation is waiting for the sons of Israel to stand up. We cannot remain disobedient. As he continues to open our eyes, we have to obey. If we don't, Ephraim won't go home. We need to understand that. When you hear in the lands I've kicked you out to, and you turn and you obey it, then I will bring you home. Not until. We need to get that here and in here.
Thank you, Tom. That Deuteronomy 30 and 31 was really the charge that we as a ministry received from the Father about, it's all about bringing the people back. It's about obeying the word. And the Father says in there, he says this: the commandments, you know, they're here, they're now, they're not in heaven. And they're not too short or too hard that you cannot do them. So, this is where we are. And thank you, Tom, for your obedience to the Father of going when he says go and listening and saying when he says stay.